Let's turn in our Bibles to John chapter 3, because we don't begin a lesson here unless we do read John 3:16. And there's a reason for it. And this is really going to tie into our lesson this morning. Amen? Also, as you're turning there, I'd like to thank our pastors, Pastor Sarah Utterbach, Pastor Ed Funstein, Pastor Gregory Carr, for this opportunity to stand here before you. Amen? And I'd like to thank our esteemed colleagues and leadership that are here this morning with us, and you. I'd like to thank you for being here. Amen? I also like to thank my wife, who in 11 days we're going to celebrate 32 years of marriage. You didn't think it, right? I'm telling you, I'm having a ball. Now, if you ask us another story, men have one story, women have the other one. Amen? I think I said too much about that. Is everyone at John 3:16? Everyone there? Okay, let's read. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Read verse 17. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Now, isn't that good news? You know what? And I just forgot one thing very important. Forgive me, and I'll go get into the lesson. Is that okay? Do we have a first-time visitor here? I see it right here. It says, welcome the first-time visitor. Do we have a first-time visitor? Stand up. Okay, stand up. Praise the Lord. How are you? What's your... Robert. That's my brother's name. And Jude. How are you? Praise the Lord. It's good to have you with us. Is this your first time here?
Yes, sir.
This is not going to be your last time here, right? Okay, all right, good. Praise the Lord. Let's welcome him. Amen. Praise God. Now, what I'd like to do, if it's okay with you, let's start with a little confession. Is that all right? Because a confession today does what? Keep the devil at bay, okay? So say this with me. Say, I stay steady during these unstable times, regardless of what comes my way. God's way is my way. Every day, I renew my mind to the Word of God. I walk in love. I stay in faith. I am a doer of the Word of God and not just a hearer. In every and all situations, I respond in love and faith. Now, here's a change I did to the confession, so listen to it. When the negative issues of life, say that, come against me, I am not afraid. My heart is fixed. I trust in the Lord. My heart is established in God's holy word. I take the time to examine myself according to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 28 to 32. And I am quick to repent of anything I find out of order in my life. Now unto you, Heavenly Father, who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that I could ask or think, according to your power that's at work in my life, I know that the best days of my life are ahead with you, Heavenly Father. Everything that you have promised me, you are able to perform. I believe it and receive it in Jesus' name. Now, do you believe that? Do you receive it? Then it's yours. Amen? Now, let's turn in our Bibles for our lesson for this morning. Turn to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 4. I'm going to be reading from the King James Version. If you have another version, please, you can read along with us. 2 Timothy chapter 4. And let's look at verses 1 through 5. Amen? If you have another version, read along with me. I'll wait for everyone. Is everyone there now? If you're there, say praise God. Okay, let me just open up this. That way I can just take a sip of water when I want to. Have to say that. Someone said, taking a sip, what are you sipping? Amen? Okay, let's read. Everyone there? Let's read. This is Paul writing. I charge therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and dead at his appearing in his kingdom. What is he telling Timothy to do? Preach the word how? Preach the word, be instant how? In season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort. Now look at this. He's telling Timothy, Paul is telling Timothy. Timothy is his young protege that he's bringing along. Kind of like Robert with Judah, right? You're the elder and you're bringing him along in the faith. Now, Paul is exhorting. He's telling Timothy these things. Now, look at what he tells him to do. He says, preach the word, be instant in season and out of season. Now, that word instant really means to us quick and ready, right? Be ready when it's ready. He says, now, reprove. Now, that word, another word for that word, approve, could be adjust. See, sometimes we got to have with the word of God, and when we're ministering the word of God, we're reproving people, but we're not reproving. We're helping them to make adjustments, okay? Rebuke. Now, that word rebuke there also means to correct. Because sometimes you have to correct people, okay? And exhort. That word exhort means to encourage. So the word of God should do several things. Helps us to make adjustments. Help us to make some corrections. And the word of God is here to encourage us. Everyone got that? Amen. So it's here to encourage us. So now let's keep on going, right? He says, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having what? Itching ears. In other words, they're going to gravitate towards people who are teaching something they want to hear, not necessarily something they need. You got that? Let's keep on going. Where are we at? Okay. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned to fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of what? An evangelist. Make what? Full proof of thy ministry. Now, we're just going to hold it right there because this morning's message and lesson to this congregation, the Holy Spirit gave it to me. He said he wants you to understand this morning, according to the Bible, what is ministry. So everyone say that. Say, what is ministry? I'm glad you asked. In the Greek, that word ministry in the Greek, if you're a student of the Word of God, in Strong's Concordance, the word ministry in the Greek is the word diakonoa. That's a derivative of the word that we call diakonos. That's where we get the word that we call deacons. Okay? But now listen to what it says. The office and work of a diakonos or a deacon. It's a service ministry. So ministry deals with what? Service. Okay? Now, here's another one. It says, an attendant as a servant and an official. So sometimes in ministry, you're serving people, but you're serving as what? An attendant or an official. Like right now, I'm serving as an attendant and an official to you this morning. Amen? So in other words, ministry is always think of ministry as attending and to serving others. See, because sometimes when people think about ministry, oh, I'm in the ministry, they think everybody's got to serve them. Okay? And sometimes you do see that in certain circles. You say, wait a minute, who's serving who? I mean, if you're in the ministry and I got to serve you and you're not serving me, you know, something's not adding up, right? Now listen to this. The Holy Spirit gave me this. He said this to me several months ago. He says, the most precious commodity in heaven is not gold, is not diamonds, is not rubies, is not sapphires, or is not any other precious stone. He says the most precious commodity in heaven, if we were to go up there right now, is people. So God sees you and I as the most precious commodity in this earth. If God were to step here right now and look at this earth, okay, everything is his creation, and his creation declares his glory. But God sees you as the most precious commodity in this earth. Now think about this. The people outside of these four walls that we see in the neighborhood, in our workplace, in areas that we frequent, they are God's most precious commodity. You got that? If we were to go down to Skid Row, I don't know where Skid Row is in the Poconos, but there's one here, though. I know that. I mean, no matter where you go in the world, there's always a ghetto, okay? When I was in Germany, I traveled to many cities in Germany, and I knew where the ghettos were in a matter of a few moments. I went to Paris, France. Lovely place. But there's a little section in France, the ghetto, right? Everybody's got a ghetto, okay? So nobody's, the ghetto is not just relegated to New York and Newark or anything like that. But the most, if we were to go there, the people that are there, no matter what situation and condition they are in, they are God's most precious commodity. You know, and something about a precious commodity that if, I don't know if some of you have ever been in banking, I've been in banking, where we deal with precious metals, and they have a price, and they have a value, and they fluctuate, and they're on a market. Well, God doesn't value people that way. He values them as important. Amen? So therefore, in ministry, people are important to God. So now, if people are important to God, then guess what? People have to be what? Important to us. So there's no such thing as an expendable person. There's no such thing as, oh, that person's a waste. You follow what I'm saying? The world will say that to people. They will tell you, or maybe they told some of you at one point in your life, oh, you're a waste. Or that person's a waste. Or we got to write them off. No, no. Everybody is precious and important to God. Amen? So in other words, what we're talking about, what is ministry? Ministry is, or a minister is one who does what? Serves others. Now in the Hebrew, there's a word for ministry. Listen to this word. In the Hebrew, it's the word sharat. S-H-A-R-A-T. That means to wait on or to serve. Now, another Hebrew word which is related to the word sharat is this word. This word is called ebed. E-B-E-D. Ebed. That means to work, like, you know, you work the soil or to work the ground. So sometimes in ministry, we're serving people. We're working, but sometimes when you're dealing with people, it's kind of like dealing with ground. How many of you ever did working in the ground in your backyard? Some areas is nice and smooth. Some areas are rocky. Some areas is a lot of roots and things. You got to pull them up, right? It's a lot of work. But you don't think about the work. You think about what? The end product, right? So same thing with God. Amen? Ministry in the church. Now listen to this if you're taking notes. Ministry in the church must reflect the ministry of Jesus Christ. Let me say that one more time. Ministry in the church must reflect the Lord Jesus Christ. I know we've seen a lot of things and people call that ministry, but what we're saying is we're going to look and see what the Bible says. Turn in your Bible to Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4. And we're looking at what is ministry. Amen? Ministry so far is what? Serving others, right? We understand that ministry, in ministry, that the most precious commodity is what? People, okay. Now let's see what Jesus had to say about this. Luke chapter 4, look at verse 18 and 19. We're going to read those two verses. Now what Jesus is doing, he came into the temple, and as this was his custom, and they gave him the scroll, and this is what he's reading. He's reading from the book of Isaiah. Really, he's reading from Isaiah 61. But let's begin reading. Read it with me. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has done what? Anointed me to do what? To preach the gospel to who? To the poor. He has sent me to do what? Heal the brokenhearted. What else? To preach deliverance to the captives, recovering of sight to who? And to set at liberty who? All them that are what? Oppressed or bruised. Verse 19. To preach what? The acceptable year of the Lord. So in other words, in ministry, if we're going to reflect the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ in our ministry, it has to have these six components. Now, there could be other things, but just from this verse, we're going to have to do what? Preach the good news to who? The poor. And you know what the good news to the poor is this? You don't have to be poor anymore. See, you don't have to be stuck in that situation you're in. We got good news to share with them. Amen? The second thing is what? Heal the brokenhearted. You know, each and every one of us, we go out, we're going to go out from here, we're going to go back to our homes, we're going to go back to the areas of schooling and working and where we are, and you're going to run into a lot of people who are brokenhearted. This world is filled with brokenhearted people. And what it is as ministers, and we've been called to minister, we're here, we're sent by God to help heal those what? Broken hearts. Amen? What else we're going to do? Proclaim deliverance to what? To those who are bound. You know, the interesting thing is this. I've had an opportunity to go to prisons and, you know, minister to men. And the one thing I told all of them was this. I said, listen, I'm here this evening to free you. And the guards got a little, the guards started looking around, you know, like, what's going on here? And the guys got a little glint in their eyes, right? So here's the thing, though. I told them, I said, here, listen, right now, you are incarcerated in this place for the crimes you committed or whatever, or you're waiting a sentencing. You're here for that reason. I said, I'm here to give you truth in the Word of God, that if you'll hear what I have to say concerning what God is saying to you, see, what happens is you can get out of here right now, but if you don't know how to renew yourself and get yourself together, you'll be right back in here. I said, so I'm not here to, you're not going to, I'm not coming here with a key right now to, and you're all going with me. I said, but I'm here to give you the truth of God's word. So that way, when you hear that word, you'll never have to come back in here again. That's preaching deliverance to the captives. Amen? Now, there's other things people can be captive to. You know, sometimes people are captive to their thoughts, their mindsets, their attitudes. But we have given the ministry of ministering to these people. Amen? What's the other one? Recovering sight to who? Now, here's something interesting. Not everybody that can't see is not only blind. See, we think of people blind because physically they can't see. But how many of you know that according to the Word of God, Paul said it, he said, Satan has blinded the eyes and the minds of those who haven't received the gospel. So when we share the gospel, when we share the good news of Jesus Christ, that's bringing light into them. Bringing that light gives them sight. Amen. The entrance of God's word does what? Brings light. You may be the only person that may be bringing light to somebody that's in darkness. See, because not everybody, if you look around, not everybody comes to church on Sunday, right? But I got news for you. You go to work, you go to school, you're in the community. You've been commissioned by God to share light to those that are in darkness, to bring sight to them, okay? What else are we going to do? To set at liberty those who are bruised. That's another important area. We run into, how many of you have seen this? And it's on these shows that are on TV. People are wounded, past hurts, you know, and we're not dismissing those things, but people are hurting. People have hurt. Something happened in the past with some people, and they haven't, up until they met us, up until they heard the truth, haven't had anyone to help them get free of that. So we're here to help those who are bruised. Amen? You follow me? And to do what? The final thing is what? To preach what? The acceptable year of the Lord. Now, let me just share with you what that means. What that means is this, simple. This is the acceptable year of the Lord. We are in what we call the dispensation of grace. What that means is this. God is going to accept anyone that will come to him on the basis of Jesus Christ. If you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, then on the basis of that, you're saved. This is the acceptable year. During the time of Moses, you had to go through the law, right? You had to observe the Mosaic law, and half of them couldn't even do that. Well, all of them couldn't do that, right? When this dispensation is over, I'm believing that all of us will be out of here. We don't have to deal with the other stuff. That's why I don't focus too much on that. But the idea is this is the acceptable year. Say this with me. Say, now is the acceptable time of the Lord. Now is the time to come to God. Amen. You got that? So now we're talking about what is ministry, right? And I just said it here. Number one, ministry is proclaiming the good news of the gospel, not the bad news. I don't know where people, like I said, I didn't grow up in church, but I would see guys on the street corner talking about you're going to hell, you're going to hell, you sinner, you're going to hell. And I would look at them and hear them say that, and my thought was, well, you go to hell. Not really. And as far as I was concerned, hell wasn't too bad of an idea because I was living in the condition that we were like living in hell. So in the back of my mind, hey, listen, what's the difference? No, but really that was ignorance because I didn't have anyone to come to me to explain the difference. So the good news doesn't talk about hell. I remember I had one guy share with me one time in the prison. He said, how come you come in here and you talk a lot about heaven, but you don't talk much about hell? And I told him, I said, listen, I can only talk about what I represent. I said, I represent the kingdom of God and heaven, so I'm going to talk about heaven. Now, if you want to hear about hell, maybe they'll bring somebody in here to talk to you about hell. Okay? So that's how we got to see. It's good news, okay? What is ministry? Number two, being accessible to serve the needs of others. Being accessible. Accessible, you know, access. Being accessible to others to serve the needs of others. Now, here's where we lose a lot of people in church. Because when you talk about that, oh, I'm busy. I got to look at my schedule. I don't know. I don't know if I can fit this in. Now, think about this. Food for thought. I thought about this one time. Remember in the Bible, it talks about Jesus calling his disciples, right? And he called them and they were fishing, right? And he told them, follow me, right? And they did what? They followed him. He went by Matthew, the tax collector. Follow me. What did he do? Follow him. Now, can you imagine today? This is just a thought. This is my thought, not your thought. But this is my thought today. Jesus calls us, right? So Jesus walks by. I'll use you, Minister Joe. Put it down. Minister Joe is just Joe right now, right? And I'm telling him, I'm Jesus, follow me. Now, he's going to follow me, right? Now, I'll tell you what, let's switch the roles. You're Jesus. I'm going to be Joe. You're Jesus. Call me. Now this is contemporary today, what we're dealing with yet.
Follow me.
Oh, wait a minute, Jesus. Oh, geez, wait. I got to check my schedule. I got to follow you now?
Yes.
Oh, I got a 10:30 Pilates class, and I got to pick up the kids. Can we reach? I have to decline.
Follow me.
I have to decline.
Follow me.
I'm on vacation. Thank you so much. But do you see what I'm saying? See, what we've done is we've reduced this down to, and we got to be careful of this. See, there, if we're going to be accessible, remember, we're talking about ministry. Ministry is what? Serving others. What's the commodity we're going after? People. People. People are important to who? To God. So people are important to who? Us. Now, we have to be what? Accessible to what? To serve who? Others. People. Now, if we're not being accessible in serving others, then are we ministering? What are we doing? Just being. Okay, I know. Let's keep on going. I'm meddling a little bit, okay? I'm meddling a little bit. Okay, number three. What is ministry, right? Now, this is what ministry is not. And everyone write this one down. This one's very important. Ministry is not convenient. Okay? And the deacons over there and Minister Joe said what? Amen. It's not convenient. Okay? Ministry is not convenient. But listen to this. The greatest times of ministry will come out of times of inconvenience. That's what I'm trying to get across to our group. I said, listen, it's not convenient. Oh, I don't know. We got to go now? Yeah, we got to go now. Why we got to go now? Because this is the need right now. But I don't know. I got a plan. Oh, listen, but the need's now. See you later. I got to go. See, ministry is not convenient. I never had to do things that, I'm talking about ministry-wise. Ministry-wise things always came in times when I wasn't expecting it, when I had other things to do, and then you had to, like, shuffle things around, okay? But ministry is not convenient. Let me give you an example of that. Turn to John's Gospel, chapter 4. John's Gospel, chapter 4. We're still talking about what is ministry, amen? Now, in John's Gospel, chapter 4, just to give you a little backdrop, so that way we don't spend too much time, Jesus is going where? He's going to, him and the disciples are going into Samaria. Now look at verse 4 of John chapter 4. Look at what the Holy Ghost is emphasizing. He says what? And he, referring to Jesus, must what? Needs go through where? Samaria. In other words, that's not good English, right? Because we would say it differently. In other words, we would say Jesus had to go through Samaria. Now, if any of you are familiar with this background, during this time, Israel and Samaria were at odds with one another. Okay? Kind of like, you know, Israel with the Arab nations. They did not like one another. So now Jesus and his disciples got to go where? through Samaria, right? And let's keep on reading this story. Let's see what happens. Okay, everyone there? And then he cometh into a city of Samaria, which is called Shinar, right? Near the parcel of ground that Jacob gave unto his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being what? Wearied in his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour, about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, okay? And there cometh a woman of Samaria to do what? To draw water, right? Jesus said unto her, what? Give to me to drink. So now follow this. Jesus is tired. His disciples already went ahead of him because they're going in looking for food somewhere. They really don't want to be in this place, okay? It's like being in a place you really don't want to be in. So they're going for food. Jesus is tired. He sits down at the well or near the well, and a woman is coming to draw water out. And what did he do? He asked her for what? A drink, right? Now let's keep on going with the story, right? Look at verse 9. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou being what? A Jew askest what? Drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria, for the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Now notice what happened here. Now this is what you're going to encounter in ministry. He asked her for something, right? He was thirsty. Because it was common custom for the woman to draw water. And she immediately saw him and said, wait a minute, you're a Jew. You're not supposed to be dealing with us. In other words, you're not like us. And we're not supposed to be dealing with you. Why are you asking me? In other words, what she was trying to do, and this happens sometimes in ministry, people will try to size you up and say, ooh, you bougie. You ever heard that one? But they don't realize where you came from, but they'll say things like that. Or they'll try to read you out like, oh, yeah, you ain't like one of us. We ain't supposed to be dealing with you. In other words, racism. That's really what it was. She was being prejudiced. And what she was doing was reversing it by saying, I'm not getting you water because you Jews. Notice she said, you Jews said you're having no dealings with us. Notice she didn't say, I'm not having any dealing with you. That's what she was saying, right? But now here's something we need to come away with. Understand this. In ministering to people, this is what Jesus did. And he's the master of it. And he wants us to master this. Let's master this morning. He pushed past her offense and stood focused. Notice he didn't entertain her question because her question was correct. Because up until that time, the kingdom of Israel's divided north and south. North was Samaria, south was Judah, right? So she was correct in what she was saying. But notice Jesus stood focused. Ministering to people, we're going to have to learn to stay focused, not react to everything they say. But now look at verse 10, and I think this is very important. Jesus answered and said unto her, what? If thou knewest what? The gift of God, and who it is that saith unto thee, give me the drink, thou wouldest ask of him, and he would have given thee living water. So in other words, what Jesus did, he stood focused, but he got her attention. He said, if you knew the gift of God and who it was asking you for water, you will ask me and I'll give you living water. He got her attention. See, sometimes we got to get people's attention. Okay? Now let's keep on going. Jesus saw the need. In verse 10, we're looking at the fact that Jesus saw the need in ministering to this woman. Sometimes what we have to do in ministry, we have to ask God, what is the need? Because sometimes people are just going to come out and say things. I'm getting this group ready. I'm getting you ready for who's going to be coming in here. Are you with me? Are we on the same page or I'm talking to the wrong crowd? Because what's going to happen is this. You're going to have people come in and say things and just want to see what you're going to do, going to see what you're going to say, and to see if you're going to react to it. But what happened was Jesus knew what the need was. With ministering to others, and even as they act out, let's ask the Holy Spirit to show us what the need is. This woman needed what? The living water, right? Now, let's keep on moving in this story, because I don't want to read the whole thing. But here's something that's very interesting. Look at verse 26, right? Turn to verse 26. Because let me just, for condensing this and keeping the continuity of the story, what he's saying to her was, one, and in the discourse, she wanted to know, where is this water? This well is Jacob's well, right? And this is where we worship, right? And Jesus said, listen, you Samaritans worship here and the Jews worship in Jerusalem, right? He said, but the time is come and the hour is now that the true worshipers of God shall do what? Worship God where? In spirit and in truth. So now he got her attention, right? But then he went a little bit further. He said, go bring your husband here, right? And she said, I don't have a husband, right? And Jesus said, you're telling the truth. He said, in fact, you had five husbands, and the man you're living with is not your husband. Man, he read her mail, right? He read her mail, totally. So now she says, I perceive you're a prophet of God, right? So what I'm trying to say is this. In ministering to others, let's find out what the need is and then get to the point of it. But then the Holy Ghost will reveal things that we need to know. Jesus was revealing this to this woman because there was a purpose. Remember we said, in God's economy, people are what? Precious commodity. See, in the world, they would have called her, what, a five-time loser? Or another word that I'm not even going to mention here, Chuck. But what happened is this. Here's what happened. Jesus saw her as a precious commodity. And he cared so much for her that God showed him things and he was sharing things with her. And he let her know where her situation is. See, here's what we're trying to say in ministry. In ministry, there is no situation that a person is in that God does not understand or know. But we have to have the compassion to tell it. And he told it truthfully to her. He wasn't saying it to scare her, right? So now she perceives he's a prophet, right? She runs off, right? Tells the whole town, right? Look, I see a man who told me everything I needed to know, right? So the town comes to him, right? So now what happens is this. She's told the people. Now look at verse 41 and 42 of that same chapter. 41 and 42. I'm in the wrong place. Okay, chapter 4, right? Now look at what it says. Now she said in verse 39, and many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for what? For the saying of the woman which testified, he told me all that I ever did. So when the Samaritans came unto him, they besought him that he would tarry with them or stay with them and abode there 2 days. And what happened? Verse 41. And many more believed. Why? Because of his word. And said unto the woman, now we believe, not because of thy saying, because they already knew this woman's track record, right? For we have heard him ourselves and know that he is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. Now here's something interesting that I noticed. This is a little side journey. In Jesus' discourse with this woman, this is the first time he ever revealed to somebody he was the Messiah. He told it to a Samaritan. He told it to a woman that he never told that to the Pharisees. He told that to her. See, Jesus revealed himself to her as the promised Messiah, right? So now the people have embraced Jesus. They're following him, right? Now here's another point we need to understand. What is ministry? Ministry is bringing people to Jesus. See, we need to be about the business of bringing people to Jesus. We don't have to fix everybody's problem. You follow what I'm saying? When I first came to Christ, I had a load of problems. I still got some that he's working on. He's helping me with. But they're a lot better, you know. But the point I'm making is this. The pastor that God used to lead me to Christ is not the pastor that God used to build me up in the things of Christ. And it's not the pastor that I'm serving today. So you see, we just need to bring people to Jesus. Bring people to Jesus and let Jesus work on them, okay? Because he's a much better worker at these things. Amen? Now, here's something we need to understand. Here's some prerequisites. If you're taking notes, here are some prerequisites for ministry. Now, you know, in college, you have some courses that they call prerequisites, right? In other words, you have to take these courses before you can take that course, right? And I found out the hard way that it's important to take the prerequisites, because when you get in those other classes, you don't know what they're saying. What are they saying? Okay? But there are prerequisites for ministry, okay? Now listen to this. Here's the first prerequisites for ministry. Number one, you must love God. Okay? John 14:15, Jesus says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Okay? Prerequisite number two. These are easy prerequisites. We can all pass these prerequisites. Number two, we must love people. John 3:16, we read that earlier, right? God so loved the world. So God loves everybody in the world. So I want you to think about somebody that you think is unlovable, but according to John 3:16, God loves them. So we must do what? Love people. Okay, number three, we must walk, live, and reside in the love of God. That's found in 1 John 2:5. If you're taking notes, just write that down. It's very important when we're ministering to people that we walk, live, and reside in the love of God. Number four, we must develop an intimacy with God that will cause and allow you to become transparent with others. That's in John 5:19. Let me say that one more time. This is a prerequisite for ministry. We must develop an intimacy with God that will cause, see, when we're intimate with God, that will cause and allow us to become what? Transparent to others. Okay? Number five, I think I said this before, but I'm emphasizing it again. Amen? You must avail yourself to serve others. Now, what that means is this. We don't have to have a big list in this church and you run up here and write down what you're going to do. But you must be available at any moment notice, whether you're in the shopping center, whether you're in the mall, whether you're in the basketball game or wherever you are. Be available to avail yourself to God for him to use you. Amen. Now turn to Matthew chapter 20, verse 28. I want you to see this. Listen to what Jesus said. We've been talking a lot about brands, right? Here's Jesus' brand. Okay, we've been talking about that, but here it is. Here's our brand in ministry, okay? I might make a T-shirt on this. Too many words, but I like this one. Jesus is speaking here in Matthew chapter 20. Look at verse 28. We're just going to read verse 28. Are you there? Okay, read with me. He says, even as the Son of Man came not to what? Be ministered unto, but to do what? But to minister, and what else? And to give his life, what? A ransom for many. So Jesus didn't come to be served. He came to serve. And he just didn't come to serve and say, uh-oh, church over, I'm out of here. No, he came and served, and he gave his life. As what? As a ransom for many. Now, what God requires of us, not necessarily some of us, but some of us in the body of Christ that go into fields of mission and other things, they're laying their lives on the line. They're giving their lives as what? As a ransom for many. Amen? So now let's keep on going in this, because we're coming to a culmination here. Some have said, now here's a quote that sometimes people say. Tell me if you heard this one. Some have said that ministry is finding what your hands to do. You ever heard that phrase? Like, whatever your hands to do. Am I saying it the right way? How do you say it? Yeah, whatever your hands find to do, do what? Do it. How many of you heard that? And how many people thought that that's ministry? Whatever your hands find to do, do it. That's how some people approach ministry. That is incorrect. Okay, now let's keep on going here. The truth of the matter is this, is that ministry in service is directed by the Holy Spirit, but carried out by the believer. We work in union with the Holy Spirit. You got that? So God is going to work with you, not against you. Turn in your Bibles to Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8, beginning at verse 5. And I like this guy. He's one of my favorite guys. He's one of my role models. I always like. I like Philip. Philip was what? A deacon, right? He was one of the seven men picked out. Acts chapter 8. And we're going to begin at verse 5 through 8. Okay, is everyone there? Let me just take a sip of water while you're turning. Okay. Acts chapter 8, verse 5. Then Philip went where? Down to the city of what? There's Samaria again, right? Do you notice God's ministry? Sending them to people who don't, you know, didn't like them, right? So he went down to Samaria, and what did he do? He preached Christ unto them. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing what? The miracles which he did. For unclean spirits crying out with a loud voice came out of many, And they that were possessed with them, and many were taken with palsy, and they that were lamed were what? Healed. Look at verse 8. And there was what? Joy in that city. Now hold it right there. We're looking at, in that whole chapter, there's other things going on, but we're going to focus in on what I call Brother Deacon Phil, right? Now Deacon Phil went to Samaria. He probably got the assignment that they said, okay, the apostles probably dished out assignments. Oh, you go to Joppa, you go here. Oh, Philip, by the way, you go to Samaria. So that was his duty. He looked at his list, and I'm just making this up. This is not true. But he looked at his list. Oh, I got to go to Samaria. I go to the place where nobody wants to go. But notice what kind of a person he was. He didn't allow the fact that he was going into hostile territory. He went as he was directed. But what did he do when he was there? He preached Christ to them. And guess what? They heard him. And they gave heed. They were listening, paying attention, because they were seeing some miracles, right? And what happened? There was great joy in that city, right? Now, you would think that Brother Phil, or Deacon Phil, did this wonderful work, that he ran back to Jerusalem, that they all gave him high fives and put him on the five-star list of saving the town, right? You figure they would do that to him, right? Or you figure God would do that for him, right? Wouldn't you think? The whole town. But do you know what they did when they heard about this? They did what? They sent the apostles down there to lay hands on people and people to get saved and get water baptized and receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now, think about poor Phil. Phil's saying, wait a minute. I went down there and the people responded. It was great joy in the city because of me. Why can't you take me with you? They didn't take him with them. Who went? The apostles. See, in ministry, we got to understand something. And this is something that we got to come to grips with. In ministry, you're not going to be the headliner. Don't be concerned about who gets the headline. See, because poor old Phil, when this happened, the apostles went down there. They didn't ask for Phil to come anymore. They sent him, maybe he was doing reconnaissance work, I don't know. And then when there was a good turn, people came to Christ. They went down there. But now, where was Phil at? Let's look in our Bibles. You still in Acts? Let's keep on going. Look at verse, where are we at now? Look at verse 29. Verse 29. Right? No, verse 26. Now move it here to verse 25. And they, referring to the apostles, when they had testified and preached the word of the Lord, returned to Jerusalem and preached the gospel in many villages of the Samaritans, right? Now look at verse 26. And the who? The angel of the Lord did what? Speak to Philip and said what? Arise and go where? South towards what? The way that goeth down from Jerusalem into what? Gaza, which is what? The desert. So here it is. Good old Phil. He did this wonderful work, and an angel is now speaking to him. He hears an angel's voice telling him, leave Jerusalem, go south to where? Gaza. And what is Gaza? The desert. So you would think, now listen, now remember, this is a person. You would think that after this, Gaza is what I call the place of obscurity. In the desert, nobody knows who's out there, right? But that's all the angel told him to do. But what did he do? He obeyed and he went. See, sometimes in ministry, what we got to understand is don't worry about the assignment. Just be ready to go when God says go. But notice here, the angel spoke to him and told him to go. So now he's in the desert, right? So Phil's in the desert. I don't think he brought tanning lotion with him, right? Now let's keep on going. Verse 27. And he arose and went. And behold, an Ethiopian, a eunuch of great authority, under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, had come where? To Jerusalem for to do what? To worship. So in other words, there's Candace the queen and the Ethiopian. He's probably riding the thing, and Candace is in the back. You know, there's Cleopatra movies. They got a nice little veil and all that. So the Ethiopian's riding, right? But now let's see what's happening here. Look at verse 28. The Ethiopian was doing something. What was he doing? Returning and sitting in his chariot, he was reading what? Isaiah the prophet. Now look at verse 29. Then what? Then the Spirit did what? Say unto Philip. Now hold it right there. In the other verse, who spoke to Philip? An angel. And he obeyed, right? The angel just told him where to go, the desert, right? But now, listen, he had to be obedient, right? It didn't make sense. Go to the desert. He went to the desert. Now he's in the desert. He probably sees going across a chariot. Now who's speaking to him? The Holy Spirit is telling him to do what? Join himself to what? Now, here's something I never thought about. Maybe you're smarter than me. I never thought about this. But when it says joining yourself to the chariot, that chariot was moving. So he had to go running with him. So he's joining himself to the chariot. He's running, right? Philip is running. He's running to the chariot. Meanwhile, he's still running. Keep that in mind. That's all that was said, right? Join yourself to the chariot. Do you see how God is doing things? When we're ministering, he's not going to tell you the whole picture. He's going to tell you this, do that. He's going to tell you to do this. So now Philip is running at the chariot, right? And Philip ran hither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah. And he said, understandest thou what you're reading? And now the Ethiopian says, he says, how can I accept some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. So meanwhile, all during this time, Philip is running and asking him these questions. So then the Ethiopian is saying, because he's riding, I need somebody to help me understand this. Come up in the chariot with me. So now Philip jumps in the chariot, right? So now he's in the chariot, right? And now he's talking to this man, right? He's sharing with him, right? Now look at verse 35. The man says this in verse 34, and the eunuch answered Philip. He says, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet about this? Of himself or some other man? So the Ethiopian didn't know what he was reading. He was reading scripture, but he didn't know what it meant. Now what Philip was doing, Philip was explaining to the Ethiopian. See, here's what ministry is all about. You're going to run into people who maybe have a Gideon Bible or maybe have a tract or maybe have something, and they got a question. And their question was, I don't know what all this means. But notice what Philip did. He stood focused. Look at verse 35. Then Philip opened his mouth and began where? At the same scripture and did what? Preach Christ unto him. Right? And as they went away, and we know the rest of the story, they went away and the Ethiopian saw water. He says, can I be baptized? And Philip said, if you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, and the Ethiopian says, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. They get out of the chariot. They get into that water, which is a miracle, water in the desert, right? That was another miracle, water in the desert. Enough water to baptize somebody, right? So now here they are. They're in the water. He baptizes them, right? He comes up out of the water. Now you would think that there should have been an applause in heaven, right? Right? Everything should have been happy. But what happened? Look at verse 39. And when they would come out of the water, what happened? The Spirit of the Lord did what? Caught him away. Now listen to the progression in ministry. The first thing Philip did was he heard the voice of the angel, right? He obeyed. Next thing he did what? He heard the Holy Spirit tell him, join yourself to that chariot. He obeyed. The next thing you know, he's ministering to this gentleman. Now he's ministering to this gentleman. After he comes up out of the water, what happened? The Holy Ghost translated him. You got that? Why? Because he was obedient. He was pliable. He was going in the direction God was going in. In fact, according to this, I have the numbers here, not exactly. He went to Azotus, which was almost 25 miles away from where he originally was, in Gaza. Star Trek ain't got nothing on us, right? So now here's what we... Amen. So now here's what we have to understand. What is ministry? Ministry is this, obeying the voice of the master and doing what he desires. My will and your will is immersed in his will, meeting the needs of others at our own expense. You got that? Jesus met the needs of humanity, right? It was the Father's will that he would be the lamb slain before the foundation of the world. But do you know what? God could have selected him to do that, but his will had to tie in with the Father's will. He willfully went to the cross. He willfully died for our sins, right? And God raised him from the dead. Jesus obeyed the Father, okay? Now follow this, and we're going to conclude with this. Jesus' act of obedience to the Master's plan brought salvation and brings salvation to all who will believe and receive him as their Savior. We believe and we receive, and now we must go and tell everyone, okay, this world that salvation through God's Holy Son, all who believe will receive life eternal, okay? What is ministry? It's what God uses both you and me to do. God desires to use us for his glory and for his purpose. That is ministry. Amen? Praise the Lord.